Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 8th, 2019, looking at the first portion of Luke chapter 23. The whole company of them rose up and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting the nation, forbidding paying taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "So you say." Pilate said to the chief priests and the multitude, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee even to this place." But when Pilate heard Galilee mentioned, he asked if the man was Galilean. When he found out that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle done by him. He questioned Jesus with many words, but Jesus gave no answers. The chief priests and the scribes stood, vehemently accusing him. Herod with his soldiers humiliated him and mocked him. Dressing him in luxurious clothing, they sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before that they were enemies with each other. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one that perverts the people, and behold, having examined him before you, I find no basis for a charge against this man concerning these things of which you accuse him. Neither has Herod, for I sent him to him, and I see nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise this Jesus and release him." Now he had to release one prisoner to them at the feast, but they all cried out together, saying, "Away with this man, release to us Barabbas," one who was thrown into prison for a certain revolt in the city and for murder. Then Pilate spoke to them again, wanting to release Jesus, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify, crucify him." He said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has this man done? I have found no capital crimes in him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." But they were urgent, with loud voices, asking that he might be crucified. Their voices and the voices of the chief priests prevailed. Pilate decreed that what they had asked would be done. He released him who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they had asked Barabbas, but he delivered Jesus up to their will. When they led him away, they grabbed one Simon of Cyrene coming in from the countryside and laid the cross on him to carry it after Jesus. A great multitude of the people following him, including women who also mourned and lamented for him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to tell the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and tell the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will be done when it is dry?" This is the word of our God. That is chapter 23, verses 1 through 31. The events here are as familiar and ought to be as familiar as anything, and ought to be as most familiar as the Holy of Holies, almost. This is the central aspect of our faith, the central truth. The Son of God goes to the cross. The Son of God, in whom even the secular authorities found no wrong, yet the Father laid on his shoulders the iniquity of us all, and by his wounds we are healed. And as we stand back as spectators in our own salvation, keep in mind a couple of things as we see this Jesus. There's no space for a poor Jesus, pity Jesus party. There's no space for you and me to sit back and say, "Oh no, that poor man, look at what those mean people are doing to him." There's no space for a poor Jesus party, because Jesus goes willingly. There's only space for faith. There's only space to say thank you, Jesus, for going willingly. As we get into this reading today and then again on Monday, there's no space to really focus entirely on the physical aspects of the crucifixion. The crucifixion, yes, incredibly brutal, and it would do well for us to at least review the physical aspects of crucifixion, because it is the most heinous and most excruciating death that a person could find. Even the word excruciating, from two Latin words meaning from the cross. Excruciating though it may be, the real pain that Jesus had to deal with, and the rest of the pain that is unseen perhaps, is the pain of paying for the sin of the entire world. Even though the cross was painful, the pain and the torment of hell was even greater. Being forsaken by God as God turned his back and dumped out his cup of wrath far surpassed any of the comparatively measly suffering of the actual cross. And there's no real talk for saying, I crucified Jesus with my sin, that he did this willingly. And when we say that my sin is what crucified Jesus, then that really takes the focus off of his work for me and turns this blessed day, this terrible and good day, Good Friday, into a day that is wrought with guilt. Guilt for my sin, when this is the day that Jesus takes away sin. Yes, there is space for understanding the results of sin. We can't avoid that. We can't avoid how seriously God takes sin. But at the same time, once we have seen that, then leave it behind. And let's just return to faith and say, thank you. Thank you for going willingly, for being my Savior. And then sometimes there's the focus of, it wasn't nails that held him there. It wasn't nails that held Jesus there. And I understand that. I understand the emphasis that they're trying to bring out, that the Son of God certainly, he certainly had the power to come down from the cross. He certainly had the power to not be crucified. It wasn't nails that held him there. That's maybe like the statement of a turning point in the sermon, when everybody's like, wait a second, he's got a body and he's there on the cross and nails are holding him there. Because that's the part that we want to make sure to emphasize, that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, has a physical body. This is God in the flesh. So in a very real way, it was nails that held him there. Laws of physics, people, you know, nails through the large gaps in the bones in his body, held him to the cross, at the same time as his willingness to be there. But the fact that he is there, he's already demonstrated his willingness, and he's said that time and time again, that he is going to the cross, that he is going to be crucified. And so was it nails that held him there? Of course it was. Because this God of yours and mine shares our human flesh. He shares our humanity. And so when Jesus is on trial, and it's almost like one final statement of this man who is guilty, Barabbas, who is set free, and the innocent man crucified in his place. Jesus Christ goes for you and for me. And Jesus, on his way out, with Simon of Cyrene carrying that cross, or maybe it's just the crossbar, I don't know, of this cross, carrying it behind Jesus. Then he turns to the women. For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? And we live in the days of the dry tree. We've lived in a period of tremendous freedom. But we also need to count Jesus' words. They do these things if the tree is green, when Jesus Christ himself walks the earth and proves it, proves his divinity. what will happen when it is dry? It's the exact same thing that Jesus had said to his own disciples the previous night, that things would be changing, that it would be time to sell a cloak and buy a sword if they didn't have one. And of course, they missed the point. We have two swords. Oh, that is enough. And so, as we go about our day today, think for yourself. The tree is dry, but my Savior died and rose. And so for you and for me, we have life. We have life that was given to us and won for us by the Son of God and communicated to us, placed into us through holy baptism and through the continued preaching of the Word. Let's not live in such a way that sprout of faith shrivels up. It's enough that the world around us is characterized by the dryness of this tree. Dear friends, let's be consistent about gathering together around the Word of God, that the Son of God may water your faith with his body and his blood again, may speak words of comfort to your hearts, and may point your eyes to heaven. And then let's get up and turn around and look around. There's an entire world of people here. And think for just a moment that God wants to use you to bring Jesus to them, to bring the life of Jesus to them. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road, Maumee. You could also follow us on Instagram at RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.